okay, I'm going to be honest. There are times that I look at the news, look at the strange stories that come to me each and every day as I prepare this program. And I can honestly say there are times that I close my eyes and I can just see this vision of demons just coming out of the gates of hell and coming after us and our children.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, I spent a lot of time on the Thursday edition, for those that hear the program 5 days a week, talking about the transgender movement that seems to be just working its way across the Western world like a cancer. And I don't plan to spend a whole lot of time on this topic today, but I wanted to share one additional story that had come my way that I never had time to get to yesterday. And this story is about the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, and this rapid descent they have taken into mainstreaming what they used to call a mental illness, gender dysphoria. And it was an extremely rare, complicated mental disorder. But they've changed their tune over time. They're now making statements like, you know, a toddler unsnapping their onesie or pulling a barrette out of their hair. We're talking little toddlers, 2 and 3 year olds, that they're sending a gender message. They're transgender. This is what we are facing in our medical community. The hordes of hell have flown out of the pits of hell and are circling like flying monkeys around every major institution in the Western world. Whether it's medical, scientific, the media, people in government that are just total and absolute vile reprobates that think all of this is normal. Sexualizing our children should be done and without impunity. We must encourage their gender. And if you go back to 2018, this is when the American Academy of Pediatrics produced a policy statement on gender-affirming care for minors that recommended affirming young people in their opposite sex identities, stated that adolescents should have access to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and bilateral mastectomies as a remedy for their gender distress, and called the traditional approach of watchful waiting outdated and unsupported by science. I got news for you. Science has been hijacked globally. Science is dead. Science is dead. It's dead, stinking, rotting. It's a corpse. It is now political science always trumps any real science. Whether we're talking, technology, whether we're talking, global climate change, warming, whatever they want to call it this week, real science has now been co-opted under the term political science. And the heathenistic, hell-bound hordes of the media worldwide, these prostitutes of propaganda, they don't care that they are so delusional they believe their own lies. And so we now know in these past 5 years, that statement has caused thousands of American minors to have received this gender-affirming hormonal and surgical care for their self-declared transgender identities. And I got news for you. Like I shared yesterday, this one complete reprobate moron, I mean, just a disgusting individual that shouldn't be allowed within a mile of a child, who thinks that showing off his genitals, though he identifies as a woman, he puts on lipstick, but he's a man, and he thinks it's just fine that the foster children in his care can see his naked male parts. He thinks that's normal. And he thinks states like Alabama, where they're saying, you know, back off. We don't groom little children in preschool, in kindergarten, in elementary school, especially without their parents' consent, on trying to confuse their gender identities. Let me put it this way. These teachers, these doctors, these people in authority that are pushing this, they have given themselves over to a pagan god. A pagan god. These now, without realizing it, have given their heart and their soul to a demonic entity that has been around for thousands upon thousands of years that we know of in the scripture itself. The god, the goddess Ishtar, had the power to make a man a woman and a woman a man. Had the power. Gender was fluid to that goddess. And everything old is new again. We've discussed that before in this program. All of this gender-affirming stuff is from the pits of hell. It is satanic. It is satanic in origin. More children that have gone through radical surgery, more children that have been damaged by hormones are waking up as they're getting older and saying, I made a huge mistake. What was I thinking? I didn't know. And yet the liars, the filthy, disgusting liars, like the one I shared yesterday, calls herself, I think, Marie Willi or Willis or something. They're saying that there'll be more suicides by kids that don't make the transition. And there's no statistic out there at all to prove any of that being true. It's an absolute fabrication and lie. Yet the media runs with it. Here in the United States, they run with it in Canada, the UK, and Australia, like it's real news, but it's fraudulent. The author of lies, Satan himself, has deluded the hearts and minds of so many in charge of government and media and even many churches. Well, what were formerly churches, now they're just, I don't know, satanic clubs, worshiping an evil spirit, claiming to be Christians when they're not. You know, Jesus talks about those individuals that are not true Christians yet claim the name. The book of Revelation talks about churches that departed the faith and their fate as a result. But how often do we even want to discuss such things in today's modern church? You know, I'm going to just veer off here for just a moment. You know, I have nothing against a lot of the newer Christian music as long as it is Christ-centered. I have no problem because over the past 20 centuries or so, Christian music has had many different styles and sounds. It wasn't always an old piano and an organ, and they didn't have those back in the days of you know, St. Paul traveling around. They didn't have, you know, certain hymnals like we think we have to have today, but they sang spiritual songs and psalms, and they did it in a style that people understood in their culture. It is what is being sung more than the style of what is being sung, and as long as the style is not, shall we say, carnal in nature, I have no particular problem, but what I do have a problem with is compromised theology. Compromised theology. And that's where you don't want to talk about certain things in God's word because you don't want people to get upset and leave. You don't want to offend anybody that's putting money in the offering plate. You don't want to get anybody upset that the things we ought to just, you know, learn to live and let live and never say anything bad. And if the God, even if the Bible says it, we don't need to push our beliefs on anybody else. Have you ever noticed that those that hate the cause of Christ want to force their ideology upon you and I? They want to force it in the public square. They want to enforce it in the public school. They want to enforce it in the workplace, even if you own the business. The hordes of hell want you to change and bow down and worship them. And they want you to walk away from your faith or be ashamed of your faith to speak about it in public. And there lies the problem for many so-called Christians today. How many of these Christians today, when confronted with some of the issues that the Bible speaks prolifically about today, remain silent as not to offend anybody? We don't want to get into the battlegrounds of transgenderism. It's not our fight. It's not happening in our church. It's not happening in our family. Or maybe you go to a church that's adopted at the highest level that maybe we should be gender affirming, same-sex marrying, and whatever else is in vogue today, whatever new satanic ritual is put into our society. I believe the globalist movement is satanic at its core, and it uses every bit of confusion and deception and division it can to wear you down and make you want to give up. They have co-opted first the colleges and universities, and now they've co-opted gradually the high schools, the middle schools, the elementary schools, and even the preschools. They have co-opted the pharmaceutical industry. They've co-opted agencies like the American Academy of Pediatrics, which back in its day was a respected organization that believed in the better welfare and health of children. And now it believes in butchering and destruction in the name of health. And I call this the satanic spirit of Joseph Mengele, the legion of demons that possess that man, are running in every part of the medical establishment globally today. And then we have all those that believe in worshiping the planet, And they spill one lie after another. I just want to quickly share this story. This idea of this net zero carbon is nonsense. It's based on a false notion that carbon dioxide and other natural gases cause global warming. They don't. People that actually understand real science, not political science, not regurgitated science, not government-funded science, where they tell you the results they want to give you the grant. Now, there was a guy by the name of James Hansen. In 1988, he flipped from global cooling to global warming and called that being dangerous. And he did it because he cashed in on all the money being thrown at the new cause. And he did quite well. I can remember back 50 years ago, we were going to freeze to death. Time magazine said so. Every major college and university said so. Because of mankind, we were going to die in a frozen winter that we created. And that frozen winter that we created never came. Instead, we saw a trend that warmed for a while, like we saw, by the way, in the 1930s, started to occur again in the late 70s and early 80s, and continued for about 20 years, and then it leveled off. Oh, you can always find the outlier, that one record temperature in one place or another, but it doesn't mean anything. Looking at 50 or 100 years doesn't mean anything. Looking at even 1,000 years means very little. We know the Earth was warmer at one time than it is today, and we know it's been vastly colder at other times. I mean, let's put it this way. The Great Lakes were under hundreds of feet of ice. We know that. Nearly everything we've been listening to for like 30, 35 years now tells us that the world is getting warmer, the oceans are are rising because of the melting, this, that, and the other, and all the promises of gloom and doom, they fail to come to pass. Why? Because it's a big lie. And yet they keep creating falsehoods. They keep putting lies out there. And if you want to keep your job at a college or university, you buy the lie or you hit the streets. And the media will condemn you and no company will hire you. If you want to know who benefits from global warming, just follow the money. And now we have this fraudulent idea of a fossil fuel. There is no such thing as a fossil fuel. That was a theory propagated in the mid-1700s by scientists in Russia because they found oil near the surface. They didn't have any way to dig down 1,000 feet. They thought it was dead dinosaur goo. And while we're finding out it was all a lie, it really wasn't true. I read a study, and the scientific experiments that were done to prove some simplicity that CO2 is not a greenhouse gas. It never was, it never will be. That has been a lie from the get-go. Just like holding on to the idea of fossil fuel. It changes a narrative. And they were able to prove that no gas, whether it's carbon dioxide, nitrogen, methane, or humid air, retains any heat from day to day. They all naturally cool too quickly. Prolonged warming, when it occurs, is caused by one thing and one thing only: the massive energy of the sun. Academics have adopted fake science because they love the money. They love the narrative, and they like being a fascist in terms of being blessed by the government to be wealthy and isolated. There are laboratories out there that can show how many lies the media, academics, even your local high school is teaching. Truth is being destroyed in order for the world to believe a lie. That's one of the reasons that I am so adamant about parents, if you can, to get your children out of the public schools, because these public schools are being taken over. That's one reason that some of the ministry work that I'm doing involves education for young people. We'll be talking more about it in the weeks to come. We as Christians need to take the admonition that St. Paul gives. We are in this world, but not of it. And when it comes to compromised churches that are basically, their lampstand is gone, they're serving the Antichrist spirit, you get out from among them. I don't care how beautiful the building is or how much money they have in their endowment account. Get out and do not touch the unclean thing. It is a warning. It is a warning to get out from among those that are now given over and yielded to the spirit of Antichrist. Parents, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Don't let the world do it. Don't let Satan's minions do it. Take control. Now, I've got to take a break, but I do want to remind you that the month of October was brutal to our ministry. We really need your help to catch up. If you can help us, would you consider making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio? Ancient Word Radio. Mail it to Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, Chilhowie, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. That's 24319. I'll give that address again in just a moment. Or you can support us from our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Now, you'll have to look a little bit on the menu for the word support. Support. If you click that tab, it'll give you a page that shows our partner, which is Give, Send, Go, if you want to give online. It also gives the mailing address and how to address your check or money order, which is made payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code is 24319. And we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
No name. Shalom Aleichem. This is, well, I have a name, Jonathan Kahn. Your Jewish connection bring you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can, my friend, so you don't miss out on receiving a real, very special gift you're going to get. Now, if you look at the beginning and end of the Gospel of Matthew, you find a strange thing. Or you won't find something, rather. If you look at the beginning and the end of Mark, you'll find the same thing, or you won't. Or you look, so with Luke and John, what is this thing that you'll find or that you won't find? It's the name, or that there's no name. Now, almost every book you read has a name on it, the name of the author who worked long and hard to create it, but not with the gospel. We put names on it according to who we believe wrote it, but they didn't put the name on it. There's nothing there. Even Luke, who puts the name of the person he's sending it to, he puts the person's name, but not his own. The fact is, the gospels are nameless. There's something about that. The point is not who wrote it. But who they wrote about. The point is Messiah. The point is Yeshua, Jesus. The gospel glorifies him, communicates him, reveals him. So with you. See, you're called to glorify the Lord and to reveal him to the world. But to do that, you need to be like the writers of the gospel. You need to take yourself out of the picture, take your glory out of the scene, become more and more selfless, anonymous. Get into the joy of losing yourself, of doing things only for God to see him. That's a joy. Then he will be revealed, like in the Gospels. Then his glory will shine through your life, as in the Gospels. Then your life will become a gospel. Good news everywhere. Because the gospel is nameless, except for God's name. You be likewise. Want more? Ask for Most Excellent Theophilus on CD. Now, the free gift for you. What if you discover the place of the Lost Ark of the Covenant? Well, a newly revealed ancient discovery just as awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You'll love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire's Daily Spiritual Vitamins, guaranteed to revitalize your walk. Or a free New Testament. How do you get all these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus' real name, and you call it. To receive your free gifts, just call now 1-800-YESHUA. One. You will be blessed, but call now 1-800-YESHUA1. Remember, the Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to join with me to bring it back to them. To bless those who blessed you, God says, I will bless that one. And also to reach the unreached peoples from every nation through the most incredible way on shortwave radio. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA1. That's YESHUA1. Or you can write me direct at The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111. That's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Hadavar, the Word.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder, and I am your host, Bob Bierman. I want to take just a personal moment here. This program was pre-recorded earlier this week. I decided at the last minute, even though I planned that everything should be okay, just to be safe, in case I'm tired, whatever the case may be, after my surgery on Tuesday morning, I went ahead and worked on the Thursday and Friday program. And if you're hearing them, odds are things are just fine. But I really felt I needed to take some time of rest. I know that on Wednesday, if you heard Wednesday's program assembled and up to date, then you know that I'm back in pretty reasonable health. And then I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new radio program. And having had 5 days or so away from producing the program, I think I'm going to have a better mindset. So keep me in prayer. I'll let you know Monday all that they learned, which I probably won't even know until this weekend, how things really came out. And I'll get you the update on Monday's program. Keep me in prayer. I need it. Keep this radio program in prayer. We need that as well. As I mentioned before, we want to expand the use of shortwave radio. Others, they use it, then they leave it, and then they come back to it, and they're just trying to, you know, push you toward a website or a paywall video source. And here, I don't want to put a price tag on anything I do. I just want you to hear this. And if God has blessed you financially where you can help us, whether it's small or medium or large, wonderful. I'm going to trust God's people to support this radio program. To me, that is the best way to do it. I just don't want to be selling things. I don't want to be in a position where there's compromise, if you know what I mean. I don't want to be selling products I may not believe in just to make money. I'm not going to do it. And I don't want to accept advertising because then I'm beholden to an advertiser and not your best interest. I'd rather lose a listener or two along the way that disagrees with me and pray that God opens their eyes to see the truth around them and be faithful to you, my audience. And that's why we come to you looking for support. You know, I was raised in a very traditional church, actually a very conservative Lutheran church. But over the years, I really came to like a lot of the, shall we say, more Americana hymns like I Need Thee Every Hour, what you're hearing in the background. We really need our Savior more today than we've ever needed him before. We need to share that word today more than ever before. This past Sunday, I preached a message of hope at my church, Trinity Chapel. And I want to take you inside the chapel now for that message. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time that we gather around your word, I pray that you will open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was young, this seems like just yesterday, even though I know it isn't. Growing up in a very vibrant and very active church, and being in its choir from the time that I was literally just out of kindergarten, I had the opportunity to learn a lot of the liturgy and the music that we had in that church. And as a young child, we had a communion service within what was then known as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And after the communion was over, and they're getting ready to start, well, getting ready for dismissal. After communion, there was this one little part of the psalm you just heard that was sung. And I can hear the music in my ears to this day. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And I could hear the melody, and I could sing it in my sleep. And for most of my childhood, it meant nothing. They just words. I learned how to sing a lot of anthems by rote. To the melody that we know, there was a hymn, I'm trying to remember now, I got to put it all together real quick, because I'm hearing the one set of words and I'm trying to remember the melody of the other one. But Living for Jesus, My Savior and King was done to another melody that we all know, a very nice Irish melody. These were some of the first anthems that I sung. And over the years, I sang many different ones. And they're now, and here's the kicker. All of what I learned in my childhood is an integral part of who I am here in this place today. I am the sum total of all that was deposited in me by my parents and grandparents and those that were concerned about my spiritual well-being. The psalm you heard today, which kind of fit the music of the last minute today, God's amazing grace, God's power of forgiveness. One of the things that I have found hard to understand to this day is how much grace God has for us, for his children, and really for humankind. We sometimes don't recognize what David wrote in that psalm as he cried out to God. Now, most of you know the story. I don't need to go into all the detail. King David, on the throne, got his eye on this really beautiful woman, and he decided, I wanted her. His lust made him desire this woman that was not his. And she was, well, belonged to somebody else. One of his commanders of David's army. And so David plotted to get this woman and get rid of the guy by putting him on the front lines of a battle. Not only did David commit adultery, he really committed premeditated murder, taking an innocent life, in order to achieve his adultery. There's an old gospel song, and I can kind of hear the melody in my mind, and I probably haven't heard it in 30 plus years or more. But I can remember way back when, one of those gospel quartets singing, sin will take you as low as you really, as your heart desires to go. Something to that effect. And I can still kind of hear the four-part harmony. In spite of that, David got called out. And I can remember the confrontation when one of God's prophets tells him this little story about how somebody had taken something from somebody so poor and so needy. And David was enraged, saying, bring that person to me right now. Jail him. I mean, all that, we're going to flog him and all this. No. It's you. You took a woman that didn't belong to you and you killed somebody. And David recognized that whatever he may have thought, whatever he may have been deluded to believe for the longest time, because sin will cause you to believe things that are not true. He kind of acted like God didn't see me do it, so God doesn't know that I did it. A lot of people have that idea that, you know, God didn't see me do it. Maybe I got away with it. David really, I think, believed that in his heart, which shows that the relationship that he should have had with his God was not near as good as it needed to be. He wasn't close to God. He wasn't living in the fellowship of the Almighty. He did not really have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life because he had gone into the desires of his heart, not the desires of seeking after the heart of God. Big difference. It's easy to get comfortable in the life that David lived. Many Christians find themselves at time there. None of us is ever immune. Trust me. Nobody's ever immune. And there David suddenly, for the first time, had his eyes open. Not long ago, I watched a video of a young man singing who was blind from birth, was told to his mother he would never live, or if he did, he would never speak, and if he ever speak, it would be unintelligible. You know, in other words, nothing would ever, he was just, you know, a hopeless case. They were telling the mother to abort the child before birth, but she refused to. And I watched as the father helped his son walk. Remember, he could walk now. They said he couldn't. Walk onto the stage. And though he could not see, his father set him on the stage, microphone in hand. And he sang that song, which I find one of the most precious Christian songs out there. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. That child, with all with being blind, he can see God better than some of the sighted folk can. He already sees him. He's got the power of God's Holy Spirit in him to change him, to empower him. And so I look at David. David, king of Israel, has everything he could ever want, but that's not enough. He wants something that doesn't even belong to him, that is not even rightfully his. And sin deluded him to think, yeah, you can get it. God's not going to notice. He may just do it at night. Do it in the darkness. That's why a lot of crimes occur at night. That's why a lot of evil occurs in the darkness, because evil hates light. And this servant of God comes to David and brings it to his attention that, yeah, God knows, fully knows. David spent quite a long time, literally in sackcloth and ashes, realizing, what have I done? And David thought of himself as a totally hopeless case for the longest time. Funny thing about ashes, in some church traditions, if you go back before the beginning of Lent, which is the 40 days before Easter, a lot of churches have what is called Ash Wednesday, the imparting of ashes. And a lot of people go, so what does all that mean? You know, putting that little smudge spot. What does it all mean? We lose sight of its historical significance. How many of you ever heard of lava soap? Yeah, yeah. There have been times that when I used to work on a lot of equipment that had a lot of, shall we say, greasy, oily parts on them, my hands were just filthy. A lot of broadcast equipment is in places that are not the cleanliness. They're full of dust, dirt, and grease and oil, and you can get really messy. And the one thing I liked were radio stations that had a bathroom that had lava soap in it after you had worked on that equipment, because you could clean your hands. What is lava soap made out of? Ashes. Ashes. Ashes were used as a cleanser. It was a cleaning agent. They hadn't invented Tide yet. They used ashes. And so we've lost kind of the historical significance. Why would somebody heap upon themselves ashes? It is to say, Lord, clean me. I'm unclean. Wash me. I'm filthy. Before the service, in the pre-service music, and a lot of the audience that watches online never gets to see it, but about a half hour before the beginning of the service, I have a music set of music tracks that play that then bring us to the countdown to get us to the 11 o'clock hour. And I start it about a half hour early, so as things get closer, I'm not jamming around trying to, I got to start this, it makes it easier just to be able to see the screen and know that I've got so many minutes. Then we're down to the 5-minute countdown that starts on time. One of the songs I included today was a Christian song that goes back to when I was in college, when I used to ride around in the Flintstone Mobile going to school. And it was a song by Honeytree called Clean Before My Lord I Stand, and in me not one blemish does he see. We tend to look at sin in its magnitude and in the responsibility of how to pay for that sin in this lifetime. And that's a human thing. We see somebody do something really atrocious, really horrible. Man, you know, we got to lock that guy away forever and throw away the key, hang him high, whatever comes to your mind. And yet that little white lie in God's economy is just as bad. There is no difference to God with our sin. What's that other psalm that David said? Lord, if thou would count us iniquities, O Lord, who would stand? Nobody. Not a one. The Pharisees used to pride themselves in Jesus' time. We're perfect. We're sinless. We keep the law. Those people don't, but we keep it. And Jesus called them everything. Hypocrites, sepulchers, dead men's bones in fine raiment. I mean, these are really nice compliments to the establishment of the day that thought that they were pure and righteous. Not even the Sadducees, not even Jesus' apostles were pure and righteous. We can see that in the gospel lessons. How many times did they doubt? How many times did they come up short? How many times did they disobey? The scripture is full of the examples. But see, that's where God's amazing grace comes into the equation for you and I, all of us here, all those that are watching or listening today. We have a Savior. He has paid the price of our sin. For those that have ever dealt with what's called a church calendar, you know, and it's not a bad thing. I kind of like it to a degree, and I'll explain why. A lot of people go, well, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Or why is you? The church calendar came out. And all these things that you do on certain Sundays during the course of 1 year to walk you through the life of Christ. The church year begins on the first Sunday in Advent, the countdown to Jesus arriving in Bethlehem. And we remember all the Old Testament prophecies that show his coming and his purpose. Then we have the Epiphany shortly thereafter, which is kind of the last day of Christmas of the 12 days. Which is the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. Then we enter the time of pre-Lent and then Lent, when we start taking our journey to Calvary, and then we celebrate Easter, the resurrection, then we celebrate Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. And then we come into what is called the Trinity season. Some churches call it the Sundays after Pentecost or the Sundays after Trinity. Some call it just kind of like ordinary time. It is when we focus on the mission and ministry of the church. And then come the first Sunday in Advent, we repeat it all over again. Back in the day before people had books to take home and televisions and DVDs, this is how you taught people by rote. They would walk with Jesus from his birth to his resurrection and to his ascension. And they did that journey every year of their life. You know, by the time I was 11 or 12, because I had gone through that kind of process, I had a lot of this inherently inside of me. I had the calendar kind of laid. I kind of knew the life story. A lot of people don't. We know bits and pieces. Several weeks ago, when Dr. Phil Fuller was our guest speaker, he paid a little compliment to me after the service because he had a bulletin. He said, man, he said, you read a lot of scripture here. I said, yeah, we do. He said, I wish our churches would do more of that. We don't get into God's word like we should. You know, we pick a verse or two and just kind of run with it. Sing a few songs and preach a sermon, but we don't get the totality of God's word. I try, in what I'm putting together, is I'm trying to find the entrance ramp, so to speak, toward kind of following along that walk beginning at Advent. I want us to take that journey with Jesus starting this Advent a month from now, and take us from the Old Testament time to Jesus arriving in Bethlehem, his story, his mission, his ministry, his miracles, his death and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit being given, the empowering of the church, and the mission and ministry of the church to this day. I want to walk through that. I really do. God's grace is sufficient for our need. I shared the gospel part, and this is where it ties together now. We are people in need of all the substance of life. We need our jobs, we need our food, we need our shelter, you know, we have our human needs for these bodies that we dwell in. That's a given. We have a spiritual need for forgiveness for all the things that we have done. God supplies our need, not our greed, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But a lot of people forget that part of that need, part of the need that we have in Christ, is to be reconciled unto Jesus Christ. I think that's where a lot of us, over time, in our lifetimes, have come to those points. I know that I have, and more than once, to realize that I have fallen short. I'm not doing what I've been told to do. I've not been obedient. I've not been as faithful. I come up short all the time. That's just the nature of being who we are. But like King David, there are times that I have to say, Lord, I have to pause. Lord, you have to create a clean heart in me. Lord, you need to renew that spirit within me. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take away your Holy Spirit. I know that, Mark, you can identify with this in the kind of ministry that you've done. When somebody first comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, are they sad? Are they miserable? Are they depressed? No. Joy. Joy cometh in the morning. The word joy is used quite a lot in Scripture. There is joy in these individuals. There is peace. There is, for many, tears flowing because of being given such a great gift. This is better than winning the Price is Right. There's more happiness and excitement in that joy. And what we also fail to recognize, what the Scripture says about the angels in heaven rejoice for those that come into the saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. It is something that transcends across the universe. A lot of Christians never really sometimes experience that joy. David did. David thought that he had it all in a box now and everything was fine and I'm going to live my life for me, until he did and then paid a price for quite a long time. David lost a lot, though he never lost his salvation. He never was the same king again. But he still was the apple of God's eye. There's a consequence sometimes we pay in this lifetime for the things that we do. David paid one. But he could say, and that little musical piece means so much to me today, to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. See, there's a lot of things we don't understand. I know that I have a calling. I know many in this room have a calling. God has great plans for his children. But it all begins with being right with him. Oh, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to drift away. But like a loving father, you know, how many times have you watched as a father and grandfather, that little three-year-old, you know, running off in this direction? You know, I have a niece. Her name is Logan, but my brother David once said, I think she's going to believe her name is No Logan. How many times has God had to say to you, no? Chide us, guide us, direct us. He does it not because he hates us. He does it because he loves us. And knowing that, we can abide in his amazing grace. These next Sundays, as we head toward the end of this church year before the first Sunday in Advent, I kind of want to tie together some important fundamentals of our faith and basics and understanding, that we can walk into the next church year renewed, empowered, well studied in God's Word, and be useful for his kingdom here on this earth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us here today to gather around your word. Lord, if we are lacking the joy of your salvation, restore that to us today. If there's something not right within us, Lord, show us that today. Purify us, cleanse us, and make us whiter than snow. And use us, Lord, for the glory of your name and for the expansion of your kingdom. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Maybe it's time for you to acknowledge an area of sin in your life that you have kept hidden, that you pretended wasn't there, that you failed to acknowledge. Maybe it occurred in recent times, maybe in recent years, maybe a lifetime ago. Today's the day to bring that to the altar and say, Lord, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by the things that I've done and even things that I've left undone. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need to be made whole. I need to be, as King David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May today be that day for you. If you believe in our mission and ministry here at Truth to Ponder, would you consider maybe for the first time ever supporting the work that we do here? We are trying to make our little bit of an effort here to make a difference in the lives of many. This past month of October, and even to a degree September, were very difficult times here at Truth to Ponder. I understand the economy. It's rough. My wife and I feel it. Many of you feel it. I don't live in some big monstrous home like some TV preacher. We live a modest and basic life. Cars that are over 10 years of age, small home. And here I am, 69, and I'm giving my time for this and giving my time to start a church. I'm not bragging or asking for sympathy. I'm saying this is what God has called me to do. What is God calling you to do? And would you consider helping what we do? If you would, you can go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab, and it'll take you to the link to find us at Give, Send, Go. Or if you prefer, make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code 24319. PO Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. We'll see you again next week.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.